We're going to be in John chapter 4 tonight. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Some of the excuses as to why people don't share their faith, I don't know if you've heard them, but we've heard all of them, you know. But I'm going to boil it down to two reasons. First, let's talk about it, see if you've heard these. The reason why someone would not share their faith. By the way, before I do that, I just want everyone to know that the book of 2 Timothy tells us to do the work of an evangelist. What most churches hear when we say that, when the Bible says do the work of the evangelist, what they hear is, Brother Steve, do the work of the evangelist. Staff member, do the work of the Sunday school teacher, do the work of the evangelist. Master's voice, do the work of the evangelist. But I'm here to tell you, if you are a living, breathing, saved person, you are called to share your faith. Here's the reasons I've heard as why we don't do that. Well, it's not my gifting. I'm shy. I'm nervous. It's not popular. I don't know what to say. People wouldn't listen. I've been told at work not to do it. They wouldn't like me. My testimony don't mean so much. And on and on and on and on. But my pastor growing up said that excuses are like armpits, because we all have two of them and they all stink. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you can boil all of those excuses down to only two. Here's the only reasons why someone would not share their faith. Either you do not believe what this book says, that there's eternal life and an eternal hell. Either you don't believe, or worse, you believe and you just don't care. He said, now hold on, Ricky. I really don't know what to say. Well, y'all, I think that God expects us to get our nose in this book deep enough to find out what to say. If I find out that my child had some sort of disease that the doctors in Oklahoma did not know how to treat, as her father, I would have some options. I could either, one, go, well, I guess we'll just hope for the best. Or I could scavenge this earth trying to find some way to treat her because I care. You see, there is no excuse for not sharing what God did for you. And that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. My question is, if you're not, is it because you don't believe? Or is it you believe, but you just don't care? An alarming statistic, oh my goodness. In the state of Oklahoma, almost, I think it was right around 400 churches in the state of Oklahoma, Baptist churches, in the year 2021, did not baptize one. If you talk about Jesus enough, you'll accidentally baptize a couple. What in the world are these people doing? Let me ask you, how long has it been since you in your life, not if you've seen it happen, not when you see it happen in church, at the extension of Brother Steve's ministry or on, how long has it been since you have shared your faith? Would you stand to your feet? We're going to read right here the Gospel of John, chapter 4. It's a story, a passage that everyone here is probably familiar with. This is the woman at the well. Let's read. John, chapter 4, starting right there in verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw her water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now let me stop right there. Already we have a reason. If this were written today, this would have never happened if it happened to us. There's already a discrimination, a prejudice. The Jews and the Samaritans did not converse. They did not like each other. Most of the times they would walk all the way around the city just to avoid each other. Furthermore, before I say this part, I want all the ladies right here to look at me, all the women. This is not my opinion. We love you, ladies. Where would we be without women? The Garden of Eden, right. Anyways, I'm just kidding. You notice it was after the love offering that I said that. You know, I, no refunds. All right, here. All the women are laughing by gritting their teeth, and all the men are scared, but they're all looking at me like, I'm just kidding. Listen, in this day and age, women were third-rate citizens, barely above slaves. There is no way that a Samaritan woman would be caught dead talking to a Jewish man. Already we have a cultural thing going on, an excuse, if you will. Let's read on. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than the father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Let's skip down to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? With God's help tonight, I'm going to preach this message. Come see a man. Oh God, thank you so much. Lord, the altar service that we've already experienced, Lord, there are thousands of churches. It's been decades since they've seen something like that. What a gift of your presence tonight. But Lord, we know you're not done. Lord, I am anxious with excitement and anticipation for what you're fixing to do. So hide me behind your cross. May I preach only what you want. And God, please do what only you can do. Change lives. Change this church. Set us ablaze. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's talk about this woman real quick. Now, if you're here and you're divorced, let me tell you, we love you. And divorce is not the end of usefulness in God's kingdom. We've already talked about tonight that God seems like he prefers to use broken lives. I'm glad that God can still use a broken life. How about you? If you've been divorced two or three times, maybe you have bad taste in the opposite sex. But like this woman, don't get your feelings hurt, but if you've been divorced five times, can we at least deduce that this woman was probably hard to get along with? If you've been divorced five times, maybe the problem is you. Let me just say it like that. And the man she has now said, I ain't gonna marry you. This is a woman with a bad reputation. Ill repute. This is a woman that all the other men in the village said, son, come here. You see the woman? You stay away from women like that, son. She is a man eater. This woman is the kind that she wanted to just avoid all human contact. She didn't even like consorting with the people. She was tired of them sneering down and kind of looking down on her, probably talking about her. Ricky, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that she went to draw water at the sixth hour. That was around noon, the heat of the day. That is not when you draw water. You draw water early in the morning or late at night to keep the heat off of you. But she said, I'm going to go in the middle of the day because no one is going to be there. Now, we used to do that. Please don't get your feelings hurt. If you're in ministry, you better love people. We love you, but look at me. That does not mean we want to see you all the time. Woo, hey. Before COVID, I don't know if y'all, did y'all miss Walmart being open 24 hours? I missed that because when I had to go to Walmart, I didn't go of an evening. I went at like 1 in the morning. You know why? because I could wear my Scooby-Doo pajama pants. I could wear my flip-flops with my hat turned backwards, and I did not have to worry about people posting it on Facebook. We love you, but I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to have to counsel them while I'm buying milk. You know, my instructions were buy milk, bread, toilet paper. I go to Walmart, and $400 later, I fell for the Walmart trick. You know, I had all the stuff. I showed up to Walmart 1 o'clock in the morning, and I saw about a dozen other men from my church doing the same thing. I walk up, I see a man wearing SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm in my Scooby-Doos, and we just look at, we don't say a word, we just nod. And that meant, brother, I won't say anything if you don't. That's right. She wanted to avoid all human contact. But when she got there, she met a man that changed her life forever. You know the great litmus test on whether or not you're saved is a changed life. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead cannot indwell a body that deserves hell and that person go unchanged. It will not happen, and you don't read about that salvation in that Bible. She left different. Listen, she met a man and he told her all the things that she's ever done. If you started just basically listing all the things that someone had ever done, you probably wouldn't like that person. How compassionate Jesus must have been. How loving and caring and full of forgiveness and grace he must have been to basically just expose who she was, and yet she loved him so. She got so excited that the reason she went out there, it didn't even matter anymore. The Bible says she left her water pot. The whole reason she went out there in the heat of the day, she left her water pot and ran back to the city. Let me tell you, I don't know why you've come to church tonight. Maybe you've come to get mama off your back. Maybe you come because, well, you know, you're a church member and you better go. Maybe you come because you live in Poplar Bluff. And there ain't nothing else to do on Tuesday night. I don't know why you've come. But the reason you came tonight is irrelevant. You can leave excited about the Lord. Let me tell you that an ingredient that we miss a lot in our Baptist churches especially is a little bit of passion. We miss some passion. Man, you have a beautiful facility. Y'all, this is like iconic. This is extraordinary about what God has done. I've heard a little bit of your history. Man, well done. Thank you, God, for a place like this. I mean, have you seen in the pastor's study, there's a hot tub. Have you seen that? It's not in there? Oh, that's in the works, I bet. It's in the works. I'm just, hey, some of you going, I didn't hear about that. I'm kidding, y'all. Yeah. It's in Sean's office. Anyways, all right. There's a spirit here, y'all. It's a blessing to us. Y'all, some of the places we go, you walk in, and you're just afraid like, man, is someone fixing to, like, attack us? You feel like you're swimming to get through anything. Man, not here. It's easy to preach. It's easy to sing. You guys are so kind. You have fed us and fed us. We're fed up. Let me show you what happened to me this week. It wasn't like that Saturday. I'm wearing 3 girdles right now to get this in. You guys have blessed us. This is a wonderful place. You have one of the best pastor's wives that I've ever, one of the best pastors I've ever met in my life. You have a wonderful staff, great music. And you sure are fun to be around. But we need some passion, some excitement. One of the reasons why some people don't come back to churches is because they show up having tried drugs, alcohol, money. They've tried it all. They'll finally try this. Let me try this Jesus fella. And they go into our churches and they're afraid if they come back, they'll catch what we have. She left with a real life-changing excitement. Now remember, this is a woman that had a bad reputation, that did not know anything about the Bible. She ran back to a city that despised her with excitement and ran through the town saying, come see a man. Come see a man. That's not profound. It wasn't what she said. It was how she said it. See, one of the problems when we dare to share our faith, when we invite someone to church, no wonder it failed. It sounds like this. Hey, Sunday's your day off. You probably don't want to come with me to church. Sorry. Well, I wouldn't go either. It wasn't what she said. It was how she said it. Fellas, back me up on this. Your lady comes home from a long day. You say, baby, how was your day? She says, it was fine. She said it was fine, but how many of y'all know that's not what she meant? Because it isn't what she said, it's how she said it. I wish I could hear how she said, come see a man. He's told me all the things that ever I did. You've got to come see this man. See, when we're, one of the fears of sharing your faith was, well, Ricky, what if they say no? Let me just remove the doubt. Look at me. They are going to say no. Why are we so, they're going to, but they can't say yes till they're invited. That's why I'm so grateful for my high school experience, because me and rejection were close friends. That's none of your business. Hey, they're going to say no. Few are they who find it. Narrow is the way. It's not our job to pick and choose who gets it. There's a sign in our bus. The last thing we see when we leave is a sign that says, until all know. That's our burden to bear. Until all know, we'll never stop, and neither should you. You should not rest. It should break your heart. No matter how big, how much this church grows, it should break your heart for the lostness in Poplar Bluff. And when you get Poplar Bluff saved, it should break your heart what happens in the next town. And on and on. I need to pick on someone. Brother, you come here. Come up here. Yeah, come on up here. What's your name again? Keith? Come on up here. Oh. Man, Keith. Keith, you look shorter down there. Go sit down. I'm just kidding. Stay up here. Come up here. You think you're awesome with all your height and all that hair, don't you? Kneel down a little bit. Anyways, Keith, I want you to stand there awkward. I'm going to talk about you for a minute. I've got something for you to do, but I want you to stand right there. Let's say Keith and I are good friends. We work together. And man, neither one of us is saved, but we're good friends and we love each other. Man, I go to revival and God gets a hold of my heart. And he saves me. I don't know, come here from Sikkim about the Bible. All I know is I've been forgiven, set free. He's my Lord, and whatever that book says, I'm going to do everything I can to follow it. I've been given a new lease on life, a fresh start, and I don't have to worry about hell. And I start thinking about my friend Keith. I'm thinking, my goodness, it's going to be awkward, but man, he's lost. He's going to hell. What kind of friend would I be if I didn't at least share it with him? And then all of the questions, well, my testimony's not going to be. He's heard my jokes. He's heard what I've said, the things I've done. He ain't going to listen. And I started arguing with myself. It's not even possible. They'll make fun of me. They might not even want to eat lunch with me at work. It might cost me a promotion. I'm just not going to say anything. But then I start thinking about, yeah, man, what if he died tomorrow? Tell you something. It's hard to share your faith with those you love. Well, Ricky, I don't want to ruin Thanksgiving. I want you to fast forward about 25 years. Your loved one, your family member dies without Christ and goes to hell. You going to be okay with that? Well, they're in hell, but Christmas sure was nice. Compelled I say, all right, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this yet. I tell you what, though, Brother Steve is a firecracker preacher. That guy knows the book. What he did for me, what he shared with me, I want him to share with my brother Keith. I don't like him because he's tall and has a lot of hair, but I want him to go to heaven. So the next day at work, I say, hey, man, I don't want this to get awkward, but I want to tell you something. I went to church last night, and I don't know how to explain this, but heaven came down, and glory filled my soul, and he changed me, and he saved me, and now I'm a Christian, and I want you to come to church with me. If you'll come to church with me this Sunday, I'll buy you lunch, and I'm not going to buy you a cheap lunch. I'm not going to take you to McDonald's. I'm going to take you somewhere nice, like Arby's. Keith says, oh, Ricky, how cute. You got your religion. All right, well, I've bought that T-shirt. All right, I've been there, done that. Not going to do that. Not going to be going to church with you. Keep your religion to yourself, but I won't be going. I said, but man, I promise you, it's real. Like, listen, we're friends, and I like you, but if you're going to start that, I'm just going to put up stop sign. You can't do that. So, man, I can't promise I won't invite you again. The next week, week two, I come and say, hey, man, I want you to come with me. Come this Sunday, man. Our preacher, he preached one of the best sermons last week. And we have great music. And I promise you, there's always a feast or an activity. This is the busiest church I've ever been to. Please, would you come? He says, now, listen, Ricky. This is the last time I'm telling you. I have some problems with church people. A bunch of hypocrites down there. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. Listen, that dog won't hunt, y'all. Listen, we just embrace it. There are hypocrites. I've been a hypocrite. How about you? The way I see it is you can spend a few hours a week with some hypocrites, or you can spend eternity with all of them. I can't think of a better place for a hypocrite to be than under the preaching of the Word of God. I said, man, I know there are, but listen, this church is different. Would you come with me? He said, now listen, that's your last year. I'm not going to talk about it again. If you talk about it again, we're not going to be friends. Week number three comes. I've been praying for Keith. Man, God is growing me in just a few weeks. Man, he's changed my life every day, it seems like. He's more real to me today than he was yesterday. So I don't even say that. I walk by and say, hey, man, how about this Sunday? And Keith just rolls his eyes. Week four. Hey, man, what about this Sunday? Come on. Rolls his eyes. Week five. He just laughs. No, give it up. But unbeknownst to me, you see, God loves Keith far more than I ever could. He's been reaching for him. He's been putting obstacles in his way, storms in his life. You say, Ricky, putting storms? Hey, listen, the devil can calm storms, but so can God. Have we not realized yet that sometimes the storms in our life is a picture of his grace? I don't know about you, but when the heat is amped up in my life, you know where I find myself? At the feet of Jesus. He's put obstacles in impossible situations in Keith's life. Why would he do that? Well, you know what it takes to get out of an impossible situation? A miracle-working God. And Keith has found himself in a desperate situation. And I don't know that, but he is looking for something. He can barely do his job. His mind is 1,000 different places. He's tried it all. And I walk by and say, hey, man. Week six. Hey, man, how about this week? You're going to go to church with me Sunday? And Keith says, what time does it start? And I'm reminded of the first time a girl said yes to me. I argued with her. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I mean, like, with me in public. He says, what time does it start? I said, man, it starts at 10:30. That's what I said, 10:15. He says, well, no promises, but I might be there. I don't know. Can you imagine how excited I am? Man, I'd pray all week. I'd fast and pray. I'd show up, man. I'd call the pastor. I'd say, oh, brother Steve, man, I'm praying for you. Man, you better preach a good one. Buddy, don't you lay an egg this Sunday. I tell you what, you better preach a good one. I go visit the music team. I said, hey, man, are you going to sing my favorite song? Oh, listen. Oh, hey, don't just halfway do it. Don't show up half-cocked and just sing something. Prepare. Come on, man. I show up early Sunday morning. I get to the door greeters. Like, come on, man, pep up a little bit. Where's that smile? I go and buy donuts. I'm like, he might want donuts. I go to this secret committee. Y'all don't know about this. But in every Baptist church, there is a secret covert committee made up of little old ladies that are cheek squeezers. And their job is to go around and go, oh my goodness.
We were friends.
Do you moisturize? Because that was softer. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. I talked to the cheek squeezers. They're like, hey, cheek squeezers. And they looked at me. I'm like, yeah, I know about you. Get ready. Come on, man. My friend might be coming. Let's go, guys. Let's go. Let's get ready. Everyone. I hope someone shakes his hand. I said, somewhere in the middle, and they're singing. I'm like, oh, that's my favorite song. Where's he at? He's not coming in. Right when the sermon starts, I look, and Keith comes in the sanctuary, and he sits on that back pew. Well, it'll be taken. He sits on the middle pew. Everyone on that back pew just went, He comes and sits down somewhere in the middle, and I said, oh my goodness, that's him. Oh God, please speak to his heart. Please, God, get a hold of him like you got a hold of me. And I know Steve hit a home run, but I didn't even listen to the sermon. I'm praying for my friend. I've never said amen out loud, but I got excited and I just said it. I couldn't help myself. Amen. I'm like, oh, I hope I did that right. Y'all, I was in a camp meeting in Louisiana, and you know how people have different amens. Some say glory and amen and yeah, buddy, or what. This one guy said hep, H-E-P, hep. And I went down and I was walking in the crowd, and on my way back to the podium, I walked by him and he said, hep, and it scared me. And I doubled up. Watch him. I almost kung fu'd a guy right there in the aisle. I'm praying for my brother. No, please, dear God, let him hear. Brother Steve puts it out there as plain as you can get. Powerfully. Spirit of God fell. I'm praying desperately when the invitation comes. Brother Steve says, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I close my eye, but I have to peek. It's so funny that you people don't think that we can see you peeking. I've seen adult people get caught peeking, and then you try to act like you're spiritual. You're like, we see you. I peek. Can you imagine the jubilation when I see Keith walk that aisle? He grabs Brother Steve by the hand. And then Steve's talking to him. He puts his hands on his shoulders. He got a step stool and put his hand on his shoulders. And I see Keith's shoulders kind of shake. I'm like, man, is he crying? That's what I did just 6 weeks ago. At the end of the service, Brother Proctor says, ladies and gentlemen, this morning Keith comes and has given his life, and I don't even wait for him to end. I just run and jump into Keith's arms. I give Keith a high five. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. That was horrible. Give me one more. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I get excited. He gets excited. I'm like, man, it took 6 weeks. It might have been a little embarrassing. I was scared. What is he going to think? But my friend was going to hell yesterday, and now he's not. And I start thinking to myself, I've been a church member 6 weeks. I wonder why other people don't do that. I'm thinking, my goodness, I have other friends at work. I have people in my neighborhood. What if I invited them? Keith, he don't know anything. I mean, look at that guy. He gets excited about the Lord. He thinks, man, I think you're just supposed to tell people. Keith, go get someone, bring him up here. I'm going to go get someone else. Oh. Come on up here. Do you know why I chose you? Because you had that look that said, please don't choose me. You tried to avoid eye contact, and that's a rookie mistake. What's your name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl, we got Cheryl out of the bar. Come on, Cheryl, come on up here. I want y'all to know, on the way up here, she said, I have never been in a bar. I take my... Chris comes up here. Cheryl. Yes. Cheryl, yes. I know. I'm just making sure you knew. Cheryl comes up here. We're like, come on, guys. Where's the door greeters? Donuts. Cue the cheek squeezers. Good music. Fiery preaching. Spirit of God fell. Cheryl, Chris, they come forward. They get saved. Me and Keith give a long distance high five. Keith!
Sorry. I'm lost. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let's do roll call. Cheryl, Chris, Keith! Me and Keith give a high five. Yeah! They get excited. I'm thinking, there's more. Everyone, go get someone. Come on. Let's go. Come on up here, Larry. Listen, old people can get saved too, Larry. Look at that. We're going to get the staff saved. That's great. Hold on. No, no more tall people. No more. I'm just kidding. I don't know, but for me, it's just bitterness. I know it's just hard to trust tall people. But you're bald, so that makes it better. All right, that's right. Brother, what's your name?
Dan.
Larry comes up here. One more time.
Stephen.
Okay, you're tall too. Is everyone tall? They come. They hear the gospel. They see how excited we are. They're thinking, if they're excited, that has to be part of it. They have something to live for. I remember what Ricky was like. I remember what Keith was like. Now they have a new lease on life. Listen, their circumstance didn't change. They changed. Look at me. This is what it should look like every week. If this church does it correctly, and let me applaud. Look, you are. But when you do it right, there will be people that come to your church that don't look like you, act like you, talk like you. They like different music from different backgrounds. They're covered in tattoos and piercings. And if that happens, you look at me. That is a beautiful picture of a New Testament church is what that looks like. Give them a round of applause. Y'all go sit down. Thank you very much. Y'all, this is not rocket science. Thank God that a dumb Okie can figure this out. It's not how smart we are. It's not how talented we are. We just got to go get them. Come see a man. Ricky, what did you do the first time you shared your faith? It sounded like this. I was nothing. I was religious. And God got a hold of my life, and I am not the same. Would you come to church with me? Now look, I'm glad evangelism can happen in here. Please don't get me wrong. We're going to see it tonight. We're going to see it tomorrow night for sure. We saw it today and Sunday night. It's been wonderful. But there is not one time in this book that it tells that lost people should come to church. But it says repeatedly that the church should go to lost people. Evangelism is wonderful in here, but it is designed to happen out there. That woman went through the city. Come see a man. Can you hear what the men were saying? Come see a man. Come see a man. Oh, goodness. What poor man is she talking about this week? And I've never seen her quite that excited, have you? Something's changed about her. Whatever it is, I'm going to go see what it is. Watch this. The disciples went to the city as well. What a picture of the church They were followers of Christ, but they had groceries on the brain, and they said nary a word. On their way back out, she might have passed them. She probably witnessed to them. As she was running back to the city, she's like, hey, go talk to that man. He's told me all the things that ever I did. Hey, by the way, watch my water pot. Those disciples were like, well, what got into her? You don't think Jesus has a sense of humor? You watch this. They got to him and they said, hey, master, would you like some meat? He said, boys, I've got meat you know not of. Aren't you glad sarcasm can be in heaven? Praise God. That's my favorite emotion. The disciples didn't pick up on it. They're like, oh, someone brought him a sandwich. I go, all right. In that day, when they would come out into the heat of the day, they would wear these white headdresses, these turbans, to keep the heat off of their head. The Bible says that many came out that day and believed. Many was running out to him following this excited woman. And I bet with all those headdresses, it looked like a white cotton field just swaying in the wind. And he said, fellas, feast your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. Many, everyone say many. Many were saved that day because one woman from Samaria with a bad reputation, who nobody liked, who nobody would marry again, who didn't know anything about the Bible, who talked to a Jewish man in the middle of the day to the men, she got excited about the Lord. What could God do with Westwood Baptist? Oh, you guys sure are excited in here. I wonder how excited you are at the restaurant. I'm going to say this one time. If you've never met a waitress or a waiter, you ask them what crowd they don't like the most. It's not the ball crowd. It's Sunday afternoon. How dare we come in here and sing about grace and then be so impatient when someone doesn't bring us a refill when we ask for it? Instead of leaving a tip, we leave them a gospel track or something. How dare we go out and appreciate the weather and never talk about the master of the wind? How dare we sing about heaven and keep it to ourselves? How dare we think my life really means something for the kingdom? And some of you have never shared your faith. I don't know what to say. Come see a man. I'm nervous. You can do it. Chase did it. Chase is 7 foot tall. He's 8 years old, 7 foot tall. Chase, I appreciate your hair. Look at me, son. Look what happens later in life. Look at you better get married, Chase, is all I'm telling you, all right? I'm shy. It's okay. You can do it. What if they won't listen? That's not the objective. See, we don't save. I can't even save my money. My job is to tell. What if they say no? Tell them again. What if they get mad? It's okay. What if they don't like me? They're not going to like you. You win them to Jesus, and they'll take a bullet for you. We've got to start thinking about what kind of person we are. Are we the kind of person that will get this gift of salvation and hoard it? Oh, I'll sing songs of Zion and just pray for the rapture. Right here, life meaning nothing. Why can't we tell them? Here's why. Either you don't believe, or you believe and you just don't care. Would you bow your head? Oh my goodness. Tonight is a different night. I hope that some folks get saved. I hope that you come see a man at this altar. But tonight's sermon was angled directly toward the heart of every saved person that can hear my voice online and right here in this room. You see, when people come to an altar, most of the time we come to get rid of a broken heart, but not tonight. Tonight our prayer should be, God, break my heart. You see, it doesn't bother me. And that bothers me. How long has it been since you've shed a tear at an altar? How long has it been since you've anguished, since you have literally agonized over this calling? You mamas and daddies, don't get mad at me, but if you do not pray for your children or grandchildren, if you do not repeatedly ad nauseam tell them about Jesus, you are a sorry parent. What difference does it make if they can throw a curveball if they don't have eternal life? What difference does it make if they get a scholarship but they're lost and in the world? What difference does it make if they like you, if you make them happy, but they spend eternity separated from God in hell? We better determine right now, are we okay with that? And if you're not, there's an altar up here and God will meet you there. And if I were you, I would stay there till God changed my heart. This is what revival is, y'all. I told you Sunday there would eventually be a threshold that you would either cross or say, no, that's too costly. Well, we're here. You can either commit or you can say, maybe someone else, not me. I'm going to pray in a moment. And if God has spoke to your heart, I pray that it's manifest in a movement. See, there is something that changes when we gesture towards God. I am humbly coming before my peers, before my church, asking you, God Almighty, do something in my life. And if I don't know what to say, dear God, teach me. There's a church full of teachers here that can train me. If I'm too shy, then God, give me boldness. If I'm too scared, God, give me courage. If God, if they don't promote me, you are my source. That job isn't. God, if they forsake me, you're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we ask that you pour your Spirit out. The spirit of evangelism is not for an evangelist. It is for every Christian. Oh God, please give us a heart for the lost. We are concerned about carpets and fun times and pizza parties, and there's people across the street from the church dying and falling headlong into a devil's hell, and we come into our padded pews, and God, it doesn't bother us. So dear God, break our heart. Let us see them how you see them. And God, may we be challenged and charged, looking, in fact, begging you for an opportunity, even tonight, that we would tell someone about you. A man that has changed my life. Come see this man. God, tonight, you have spoken to someone here who's lost, who's been struggling with it even for the past few days here at this revival. God, I pray you bring them. May we celebrate a harvest as we celebrate the revival of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Would you stand? Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of person are you? Daddy, I don't know about you, but if I were you, I would lead my family to this altar. Come see a man. As we sing, you come.
Search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh
This is where revival happens, y'all. It's not in the ebbs and flows of emotion. It's when you see mamas and grandmamas praying for their babies. It's when you see staff members broken over their Sunday school. It's when you see daddies on their face before God, dear God, slay me, give me a disease, kill me, but do not let my babies go to hell. You see, when the thing that breaks his heart starts to break our heart, that is revival. If this keeps up, and it should, y'all better get the building committee ready. This ain't big enough. I would never overstep your pastor. I would eat glass before I ever usurped his authority. But I'm going to ask if you do this. Not that we should be satisfied with this, but it is March. We've got 9 more months left of this year. I want to know, by a show of your hands, how many would commit for the next 9 months to tell you, listen, we're setting the standard, we're setting the expectation so low. I hope we're doing that, not because we want low expectations. I'm doing that so that you see how simple this can be. How many in this room would commit in the next 9 months, I will share my faith to one person, at least one person? Some of you should go do that tonight for fear that God may end their life tonight. And I hope, I'm gambling on this right here, that if you do it once and you see what God can do, you'll get greedy for it. And you'll do it again. You see, that's how it spreads like wildfire. One more thing.